want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. I want to congratulate you on doing the right thing that's been in God's house this morning. God bless you. And I'm glad there's a sweet by and by in the near future, aren't you? And I'm glad it's real. Amen. It's never entered the heart of man what he has in store for those who love him. And I love him this morning, don't you? We love him because he first loved us. And we praise him today for who he is, for what he's done in our lives, for what he's doing and for what he's going to do someday. There's your three-point outline. What he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he hasn't done, what he's not doing, what he's not going to do. Good night. There we go. That'll preach. Amen. There's your good outline there. An outline. I don't know if it's a good one or not, but it's an outline. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse number 20. I'm going to begin a message today that I will not get through. And everybody said, amen. Because if I did, we'd be here from now until Brother Graham gets up tonight. So I'm going to be finishing this, God willing, next Sunday night. I trust that you'll be here next Sunday night because this message is a message that if you're not dealing with this now, more than likely you have in the past or you will in the future. And I trust it'll help you. Acts chapter 8, verse number 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. In verse number 23 again, Peter says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark that phrase, the gall of bitterness. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, spiritual suicide. Spiritual suicide. Let's pray together and I want to share this thought with you. Lord, we love you today. And we thank you for your goodness to us. We praise you for who you are this morning. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the amazing grace that you show us each and every day. And I pray that you help me to preach this message with power, with clarity. And Lord, I pray that you'll preach it through me now. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Suicide takes the lives of more than 30,000 Americans every year. It's been said that every 18 minutes, another life is lost to suicide. Every day, 80 Americans take their own lives, and over 1,900 Americans visit emergency room departments for self-inflicted injury. Suicide is now the 11th leading cause of death in America. And for every two victims of homicide in the U.S., there are three persons who take their own lives. There are now twice as many deaths due to suicide as to HIV and AIDS combined. Between 1952 and 1995, the incidence of suicide among adolescents and young adults nearly tripled. And on average, an elderly person dies by suicide every 1 hour and 37 minutes. On average, a young person between the ages of 15 and 24 dies by suicide every 2 hours and 12 minutes. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for young people in the ages of 15 to 24. Only first is accidents and second is homicide. Suicide is the fifth leading cause of death for young people between the ages of 5 and 14. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among college students. There are approximately 750,000 suicide attempts every year. It's an estimated 5 million living Americans have attempted suicide. On average, someone attempts suicide every 40 seconds in the United States. On average, 88 people die by suicide every day in the United States. And the national suicide rate is 11.1 per 100,000 people. Do you realize that more teenagers and young adults die from suicide than from cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, influenza, and chronic lung disease combined? Did you hear what I just said? I know you may be wondering, what in the world does this have to do with me? Well, let me say this, that while hopefully you're not contemplating committing physical suicide, There are many listening to me right now who are committing spiritual suicide. It's better known as bitterness. You know, in English, the concept of mental bitterness comes from the idea of something that has a sharp or unpleasant taste. We speak of something being bitter because it causes grief or hard to bear, like a bitter defeat or a bitter failure. We also speak of a bitter loss when someone is taken in death that causes great grief. Then bitterness has come to be used of those things that cause pain or grief, such as bitter remarks or bitter enemies. And we may say he fought to the bitter end, meaning a struggle in the last extremity. And let me say this, bitterness is a devastating mental attitude that is sin. And it triggers a wide range of other sins. It triggers hatred. It triggers cruelty. It triggers antagonism, self-pity, unteachableness, vindictiveness, and pride. It's oversensitive to a verbal remark, a verbal action, or a lack of action. It carries hurt feelings. It has repulsive feeling towards a person at the thought or the sight of him. It retains wounds and frequently talks about them. It alienates a person. It verbally slanders against the person. And in our text, we see bitterness described here with the word gall. And the word gall is poison. And we see this morning that spiritual suicide is bitterness, because if you have it, you are destroying yourself. Now, I want to give you some things about bitterness. I'm only going to get to two of them today. The third one next week is the cure for it. You do not want to miss next Sunday night. I promise you, you don't want to miss it, because you're going to get the problem today, but you're going to get the cure next week. I don't have time to get to it. I wish I did. Three things I want to give you about spiritual suicide, better known as bitterness. Number one, the first thing I want you to notice about it is the cause of it. Now, I want you to flip over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 with me, please. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read in just a moment verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, when you get there, look this way. There's no doubt that someone who is bitter will try to rationalize their bitterness. They will try to justify their bitterness by focusing on the circumstances that are involved. For instance, if I ask a bitter person the cause of their bitterness, why are you bitter? No doubt answers such as the following would be given. Well, she did this. Well, he said this. Well, they took that. Well, this happened. Now, to the average person who is dealing with bitterness, the cause is something or someone else. Did you hear what I just said? But biblically speaking, that is not the cause of bitterness. Let me show you the cause of bitterness. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Make no mistake about it. The cause of bitterness is not what someone has done or has not done, what someone said or didn't say, what happened or didn't happen, but rather the cause of bitterness, spiritual suicide, is not allowing God's grace to see you through and help you deal with it. Did you hear what I just said? The Bible says if you fail of the grace of God, then a root of bitterness will spring up, thereby troubling you, and many be defiled. So many people look at it and say, well, you don't know what he did, or you don't know what happened, or you just don't understand my life. Maybe not, but I understand the grace of God, and I know it is sufficient for every problem in life. And if we do not allow the grace of God to see us through, there's where bitterness sets up. Period. And all I'm saying to you is the cause is not something. The cause is not allowing the grace of God to help see you through. Now, I'm preaching to myself too. Understand, when I point at you, I've got three fingers pointing right back at me. This message is for me as well as for you. See, it's God's amazing grace that saves us. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But so many times we stop there. Do you realize it's the grace of God that not only saves you, it's the grace of God that helps you live? God's grace is sufficient for every circumstance in life. Now, I realize there are some circumstances that people don't choose and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to say, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. No, I'm trying to say this. I'm trying to say, I realize people hurt. I realize things happen. I realize things happen in the flesh that if you're not careful, you're going to get bitter about it. But God is bigger than your problems. And the cause of bitterness, spiritual suicide, is not allowing the grace of God to see you through. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me say, no matter what your circumstances may be in life, God's grace is sufficient to see you through. Flip over to the book hold your place here in Hebrews now. Flip back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Trying to show you the cause of bitterness. Why do people fall susceptible to bitterness? Why do people, spiritually speaking, commit suicide by allowing the root of bitterness to take root in their life and poison them and take them down? Why is it? What's the cause of it? The cause is failing of the grace of God, not allowing the grace of God to rule and reign. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, this is Paul speaking, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. By the way, some of you all have a thorn sticking in your flesh this morning. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. I'm not saying there's no hurt. There's things that happen that hurt. But I'm glad it doesn't stop there. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. You ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Feels like he's beating the daylights out of you. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he, God, said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. Not get bitter, but glory that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what that word sufficient means there? For my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what it means? It means my grace is enough. It suffice. It's content. It wards off. What a word. What a word. So see, no matter what thorn you may have, keep in mind 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, we who have God's grace many times fail to exercise it, to draw upon it, to use it. Because sometimes we fall into the trap of the devil that the grace, like I've said before, is only for salvation. That is incorrect. The grace of God is salvation. It's by grace and grace alone. But your daily living is to be lived by the grace of God too. You're to allow the grace of God to see you through. The grace of God's enough. It's enough. And the reason that bitterness sets up in a person's heart is because they fail of the grace of God. They do not allow the grace of God to take root in their life and help see them through. All I'm saying to you is this: try to get your eyes off of them or that, whatever them or that may be, and turn them to God and say, God, I can't help this. You're going to have to help me. And he's got enough grace to do it. Amen. See, we need God, no doubt about it. One day, two men were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops, and as they walked, they spied an older woman sitting at the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge and she couldn't get across on her own. The first man looked at her and said, hey, we'll carry you across if you'd like. She said, thank you, gratefully accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifting her between them, and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down and she went on her way. After they walked on for a mile or so, the second man began to complain. He said, look at my clothes. They're all filthy from carrying that woman across the river. My back still hurts from lifting her, and I can feel it getting stiff. First man just smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second man griped again. My back's hurting me so badly, and it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any further because of pain. First man looked down at his partner, who was now lying on the ground groaning and moaning. And he said, have you ever wondered why I'm not complaining? to this other guy who was complaining all the time? He said, no, why aren't you complaining? He said, because I set her down 5 miles ago. You're still carrying her, for crying out loud. And while that's funny, how true is it? How true is that? Let me tell you why there's marital problems. Maybe when one person does something sour. Let me tell you why things happen and bitterness sets up. Because we as human beings do not want to let go. You're right. That is right. That's right. If you're bitter this morning, I know your problem. You know what your problem is? You love yourself more than God. That's the same with me. Because if I stay bitter, then I'm saying, God, I am so important that I don't think your grace is enough to see me through this. You're either saying you don't think his grace is enough or you don't want his grace. And all I'm saying, I know this is hard preaching, but what I'm saying to you this morning is that the cause of spiritual suicide, which is bitterness, is not allowing the grace of God to help you set it down. By the way, it takes God's grace to set some things down, doesn't it? Amen? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's a heavy load. And I'm not saying that you can do it on your own. But if you'll turn it over to God and say, God, I can't carry it. You know what he does? He'll carry it for you. And when he carries it, it's not a load on him. It's nothing for him. Don't turn against God. Don't commit spiritual suicide. Don't allow bitterness to stay in your heart. Well, you just don't know what they did. You don't know. Well, and you don't know your problem until now. It's not them. It's you and God. Get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes off of that happened. Whatever it is, whether it be a bitter loss or something like that, or somebody sinned against you, get your eyes off of that. Turn your eyes on to God, and God will see you through. He'll help you. There's the cause. Then number two, the second thing I want to show you, we will not get any further than this morning. By the way, I'm begging you to come next Sunday night. I'm begging you because you need the cure for bitterness. It's a 3-point outline right out of the Bible I'm going to give you. And yes, it is alliterated. It is all ours. And I'm going to give it to you next Sunday night. I'm pushing this now because you need it. Because really today all you're hearing is the problem. Next week you're going to hear the cure. Number one, the cause of bitterness, the cause of spiritual suicide is failing of the grace of God. Then number two, you're right back there in the book of Hebrews. We see the consequences of bitterness. We've seen the cause of it. Now let's look at the consequences of it. Look at verse number 15 again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, here it is, springing up, here it is now, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness ends up destroying the one with it and spreads to those who are around it. Did you hear what I just said? I've dealt with bitterness with my wife. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it's interesting, right in that verse right there, we see two consequences about bitterness. Do you see anything about the person that the person's bitter against? No. Do you see anything about the circumstance that happened? No. But you see two other consequences. Number one, first consequence of spiritual suicide, If you're committing it, I'm talking about bitterness, you're letting it in. Number one, it destroys self. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know, I found this story that's interesting. I didn't know this, but I found this story about a rattlesnake. You know, a rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes, now not all the times now, so please don't count on this, you understand? But sometimes will become so angry that it'll start biting itself. Now, if you see a rattlesnake, don't try to corner it, okay, folks? But if it's cornered, sometimes it becomes so mad that it'll turn its attack on itself. You know, that's exactly what harboring hate and resentment against others is doing. It's biting oneself with poison. When we think we're harming them by holding a grudge, I'm going to get them. Why'd God let this happen to me? That's bitterness. You have that in your heart, you're killing yourself. You're destroying yourself with that attitude. It's spiritual suicide. You're not going to live through it. Bitterness, I'm reading here, bitterness is one of the most crushing mental problems in a person's life. When a Christian is bitter, there's a loss of close fellowship with the Lord and a hindrance in one's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bitterness causes a loss of many of the blessings of the normal Christian life, including emotional stability, peace, and joy. And bitterness results in the loss of production of good works, which are a major source of blessing and reward in the plan of God. Bitter does not hurt the one you are mad at, but it certainly destroys you. Bitterness does not do anything to change the circumstance that you're mad at, but it destroys you. Somebody said this, it's like drinking poison and waiting for somebody else to die. Boy, it's awful quiet in here this morning. I believe I'm plowing on somebody's road, including my own, amen. Because I'm bitter again. No, I'm just kidding with you. All I'm saying to you is that the first consequence of spiritual suicide, if you have bitterness in your heart, by the way, if you don't, watch out. There may something hit you this week and you get bitter about it. You may lose a loved one, you get bitter about it. You get bitter, folks, and you let it stay in there, it's a root. And where there's root, there's fruit. And may I say to you that it is gall, it is poison, it is killing you. It is taking you down. It destroys you. Then secondly, the second thing we see about it, under the consequences here, it destroys self, but number two, it defiles others. Look at Hebrews 12:15 again. Lest any root of bitterness thereby trouble you and thereby many be defiled. You know what that word defiled means? It means to contaminate, to taint. If I took this water and I took one drop of poison and dropped it in it, I've just contaminated it. Would you drink it? It's just one drop. Come on now, Anthony, come on. If I took this and just put one drop, that's it, just one drop, you wouldn't drink that. You don't trust me. Why would you not drink it? Let me tell you why, because it's been defiled. It's been contaminated. It's been tainted. And God's word tells us here that if you let a root of bitterness set up in your heart, you're not only troubling yourself, you are contaminating others. You're tainting them. You're defiling them. Someone said bitterness keeps getting worse. It hurts not only the holder, but everyone in the way. You ever notice how a bitter person will take their bitterness out on those who have nothing to do with the situation? You ever notice that? I'm talking about, let's just say that somebody had somebody else wrong them in a bad way, whether it be a husband and wife or a worker and a co-worker or a boss and an employee, whatever the case may be. Let's just say that somebody's had somebody really wrong them. I mean, really wrong them. Bad. And they get bitter about it. You ever notice how they don't take their bitterness out on the person they're mad at? But they'll take it out on their children. Amen. They'll take it out on those who are around them who have nothing to do with it. Why? Because God's word is true. That's why. And bitterness will defile everybody in the way of it. Everybody. You take a husband and wife who's had problems or one of them, whatever the case may be, and they divorce or whatever the case may be. If bitterness sets up in that and they have children, God help the children. That's all I've got to say about it. Because the children are the one who suffer when one of the parents are bitter. Take the mom, if it was the dad or whatever the case may be. And the dad's gone, but the children are there. And the mom's bitter at the dad, but he's not there. So she snaps their head off. That's how bitterness works. That's bitterness. No wonder it's spiritual suicide. It destroys self and defiles those in the way. Wherefore, a root of bitterness. It's interesting that the Bible likens it here to a root. And by the way, it's a bitter root. And that root is utterly corrupted. The metaphor shows that this is a sin that has an infectious nature. And its consequences are deadly in the highest degree. A poisonous root has nothing good to offer anybody. Nothing. Not one thing. Bitterness is neither consistent nor rational. A bitter person is his own worst enemy. It's very difficult to maintain any kind of relationship with a chronically bitter person, and bitterness is a major contributing cause of marital and family problems. For instance, it's been said this: a little grudge can create a huge gap in human relationships. Listen to this. The Philippines Daily Express reported on a couple in England who had lived together as silent partners for 12 years. Listen to this. This is ridiculous. The wife was finally seeking a divorce. For 12 extraordinary years, they had lived their lives so they wouldn't have to meet each other, said a lawyer. He said this: when one would come to the house, the other one would leave. And when they did communicate with each other, it was with notes. They had lived happily together for the first 18 years of their marriage and had raised a son. But for the last 12 years, they didn't speak to each other. And ironically, neither one of them could remember what the hassle was all about. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And all I'm saying to you is that if you let one little root set up, it'll take you down. And it'll take everybody down with it who's in its way. My. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. The bottom line is bitterness defiles others. You can go away from Hebrews chapter 12 here. In other words, you don't have to hold your place because I'm just about through. But flip back to the book of 1 Samuel with me, please. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm trying to show you the consequences of bitterness. Bitterness is spiritual suicide. It will take you down. It destroys you. It defiles others. And in this, I'm going to show you another biblical example of how bitterness absolutely defiles others and those around it who have nothing to do with it. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. That's in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And taking the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, here's what's going on. David and his men are away from home. They come back. And their place is burnt to the ground. Their wives are taken captives. Okay? Now look at verse 3. By the way, did David have anything to do with that? Did he do it? Did he burn the city? No. Did he take all the wives captives and run off somewhere? No. He didn't do it. The Amalekites did. Look at verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Including David. Stay here with me now. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. Now notice verse 6. David is with these men. He didn't do anything. His wives were taken captive too. But notice how they responded. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Why? Now notice this, because the soul of all the people was, what's that next word? You know what that word also means? Bitter. Because the soul of the people were grieved or bitter, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I don't know if you see what I see. Here's what I see. I see David, who's with the men wherever they were, and they come back to Ziklag, their city's burnt, their wives are taken captives. Their sons and daughters are taken captives, including David. Because of that, their soul is grieved. Their soul is bitter. It's bitter. They're bitter right now. And you probably would be too. Now think about it. If you went home and your house was burnt down and your wife and children were taken captive, would you not get a little bit angry? Something's wrong with you, man, if you wouldn't. I'd get a little angry. They were bitter. But what did they do? Let's go get those Amalekites. No, what did they do? They picked up stones going to kill David. What in the world's that? His wives were taken captive along with theirs. All I'm saying to you is that bitterness will destroy self, but it goes further and it will defile others. And normally the others that it defiles has nothing to do with the problem. That's bitterness. Each suicide intimately affects, it says, at least 6 other people. That's an estimate. And based on the 742,000 plus suicides from 1977 through 2001, it is estimated that the number of survivors of suicides is 4.45 million Americans. That is amazing, and 1 out of every 64 Americans have been affected by suicide. And since on average a suicide occurs every 17 minutes, and there are about 6 new suicide survivors every 17 minutes as well. Every 17 minutes, 6 more people have been affected by suicide. What major consequences to keep bitterness in our heart. Major consequences. I wonder this morning, are you guilty of spiritual suicide? Has there been something happen in your life that you just cannot get over? And because of that, hey, you may never get over it until you see Jesus, but because of that, a root of bitterness is trying to wedge its way into your life. Hey, have you had somebody do something to you? Have you had somebody say something to you? Have you had somebody treat you in a way that you know is not right? And because of that, your eyes are completely on them or yourself or your hurt feelings, and a root of bitterness is wedging its way into your life. You know what that root of bitterness is? Poison. It's poison. And if you allow it to take root in your life, you are committing spiritual suicide because you are going to destroy yourself and you're going to defile others. Now, I know what some people are saying. Jody, you're talking directly to me. What do I need to do? Let me just say this. Now, next week, I'm going to give a whole message on answering that question. Did you just hear what I said? Next Sunday night, I'm going to answer that question, the whole message. I'm going to review quickly and then answer that question. What do I do? But since I don't have time to do that this morning, let me simply say this. You can't do anything. But you can through Jesus Christ. If you'll give it to God, that does not mean that it's going to be easy. That does not mean you're never going to think about it again. That does not mean it's not going to hurt. It's still a thorn. It's still a thorn. But you have to learn to draw your strength from the grace of God instead of focusing on the pain that you feel. Do you understand what I just said to you? It hurts. It hurts. I'm thinking of some of you right now. It hurts. And the devil will try to get you to say, feel that pain, feel that pain. Why is God letting that happen to you? That's bitterness. That's spiritual suicide. If you'll just take your eyes and say, God, it hurts. This hurts. Would you help me? He'll take care of you and he'll help you. He'll see you through. I wish I had the time to go into the cure. God help you to give it to Jesus Christ. He'll see you through. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father God, we love you. Maybe, Brother Gary, the song goes, grace, grace. I think you know what I'm talking about. Our Father, we love you this morning. I thank you, God, for how I believe that you have helped me to get through this part of the message. And Lord, there's no doubt that people are hurting today. There's no doubt that people have been wronged who are listening to me. There's no doubt that there's people listening to me right now who've had somebody just pull the rug out from under them. There's people listening to me now who's had a circumstance take place in their life that has turned their world upside down. God, help them to understand the message. That the devil will try to get them to focus on bitterness instead of focusing on you. God, may thy grace pervade over all this auditorium. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I hardly know how to give an invitation on something like this. Maybe there's somebody here today. And may I say this to you, you will never get cured over bitterness until first of all you know that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Has there been a time in your life when you said yes to Jesus? When you've invited Him to come into your heart and you've become a child of God? Is there somebody today say, Jody, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I know you're preaching on bitterness, but I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. You're saying God's grace is sufficient, but I'm not even sure I have His grace in my life because I'm not even sure that I've been saved by His grace. See, He's not going to help you by His grace until you are saved by His grace. He wants to save you, become your Father, and then as a father tenderly watches over His children, He'll see you through. Somebody like that, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be sure that I'm in the family. I'd like to know this God who has enough grace to help me in my problems. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved. And let me ask you this. I'm not asking, are you guilty of spiritual suicide? Here's how I'm going to put this. How many of you know that God laid this message on my heart for you? Understand, I'm not asking, are you committing it? But you know that God laid this on my heart for you. You know He did. God is speaking to you. All over this auditorium, would you raise your hand? You say, I know God had this message for me. No doubt about it. Along with these other hands, anybody else, raise it up high. Put it up high. Now, if you raise your hand, I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me. You can put your hands. I don't do this much, but there's so many of you. I want you to look right up here at me. Those who raise their hands saying, this message is for me. I want you to know this message is not a rebuke. You understand? Now, it can come across as a rebuke, but this is just revealing what bitterness is, what it does. And God is speaking to you. You know what that is? That's a privilege. He doesn't have to speak to you. But He did, didn't He? Isn't that a blessing when God speaks to you? Now, in just a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask every one of you to leave your place and come and talk to God. He spoke to you, so now it's time to speak to Him. And by the way, when you come, it helps those who may be lost to come. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Lord, take the service, use it, I beg of you, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? If you're lost, would you come now? Please do it, as Brother Gary sings, please.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that
there's still time for you. Come on. You're not sure you're saved. Now's the time. Now's the time. God help you. God help you. God help you.
There were the blood of the Lamb.
If you sing it with us.
Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss.
All his grace is enough.
Grace that is
Amen.
Greater, yes, grace untold.
Amen.
Points to the refuge, Amen. The mighty cross.
Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
We're playing through softly. I want you to look this way, please. I'd like to have a couple of our men, please, to come up and pray with Barney. Please. God help him. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad his grace is sufficient? His grace is enough. I hope the Lord lets me see when he takes the devil and throws him into the lake of fire. Amen. The devil will take situations and he'll try to just jab at you. God says, I know it hurts. I know it hurts, but I'm enough. I'm bigger than that. Amen. Sing that last verse, Brother Gary.
Marvelous, infinite, matchless
Amen.
Grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace
Sing it with us.
Receive?
Grace, grace. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Let's sing that first verse again. I'm getting blessed by that song.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpourn. There where the blood
of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
What number is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. What number is
244.
That? 244. Take your hymnal, page 244. We're still dealing with people. Singing about the grace of God. It is amazing, isn't it? And it's enough, no doubt about it. Let's sing it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Will precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
On the last,
when we've been there 10,000 years,
bright shining as the sun. We've no less things to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
They're playing through softly. I like it when the Lord shows up. He's shown up in my own heart and soul today. It's a great privilege when the Lord speaks. My, what heaven must be like. Heaven must be like. See our loved ones again, folks. You see them again. Amen. That's what it's about, isn't it? Amen. 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 Preacher, you go right ahead.
Well, amen. Thank the Lord for these who came today. Gary came. Brother Teddy brought him up visiting today. And he has been saved, but he wanted to really get right with the Lord and commit his life to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. God bless you, son. All you were happy for him and all the others that come to this altar, they say big amen. 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 Well, thank you for coming today. Be back tonight. Brother Graham will be preaching and he'll be headed back to Brazil in this coming week. Next Friday, let's be praying for Brother Graham as he goes back to Brazil. Thank you for coming. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed with prayer. Brother Jack Mosier, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?